Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. My goodness, we are continuing our conversation about the heart of Nehemiah. And you might, you know, I think we're in like chapter four here. But the thing about it we're talking about is that, you know, I just really believe the Lord's showing us, you know, showing if we get this heart, if we have the heart of Nehemiah, then God can use us to begin to rebuild the church. And if you're thinking, well, the church don't need rebuilding. You know, I'm not saying that there's not believers or Christians, but aren't we supposed to be built up in unity? Aren't all the stones supposed to be healthy and together and living and authority? And I'm talking about being built up as not buildings, but people.
Right.
And so when Nehemiah is coming here to approaching the king and all the things we've already talked about already, he's talking about the walls of Jerusalem and the gates of Jerusalem, but that's the protectiveness of God's people. Because once you have walls up, then you have a safe, I mean, imagine you're standing in the middle of an open field saying, let's camp here. We're safe for the next 30 years. That's kind of, you know, it's not true.
Right.
Because you're vulnerable to all kinds of attacks. But if you have the walls up and you camp, then nobody really knows what's going on. As a matter of fact, we're going to be talking about that today. In regards to when the enemy doesn't know what's going on, it really begins to bother them. They start getting really nervous when they don't have someone to be able to, or gaps to be able to get in, have access. And so the walls are important. But when you think about the walls and the church is the building of God, we're the building of God being built with living stones. So it's people. And he talks about, you know, will these stones live? Well, you know, stones don't live. He's talking about us. We're like living stones being built together in a royal priesthood, a habitation for God. And he says, even the stones will cry out. He's not talking about necessarily a rock crying out. He's talking about us like living stones in comparison to building the habitat for God. And so when you're looking at what's happening, we can learn through the journey of Nehemiah and his heart, because God put this on his heart to be able to do this, that we can follow the same pathway of, a strategy. If God, you know, God will call you, you know, as maybe ma'am or sir, you're, you know, God's put this Nehemiah calling on your heart. And if you take that same, and there's all these contingencies along the way, you can't say just because God spoke to you that, Nazareth is going to listen to Jesus. I mean, he was Jesus, nothing changed, but the contingency was for Nazareth, if they were going to experience the power and the presence and the salvation of Jesus Christ, they had to acknowledge him as Jesus Christ, and they did not receive him, and therefore they did not receive what he could offer them. So that was contingency. So there's all these contingencies. Don't let anybody tell you, you know, that you didn't hear clearly because Nazareth didn't get saved. Well, that Nazareth didn't get saved because they chose not to be, and Jesus just moved on. So these are the contingencies. We talked about some of those, but realize through the whole thing, every prophetic word is a contingency based on, but will you follow God? Because remember that David and Saul, King David and King Saul, got the pretty much the same prophetic word, the very same prophetic word, but only one of them did it come to pass in, and the other one, the Lord's saying, I regretted the day that I ever painted a vision for you that I could use you down the road. I regretted the day that I ever put you there.
That's right.
And so just because you're there does not mean the Lord may regret the day that he ever allowed you to be there. Or just because you got a word. How many people, you know, they say, you know, I got this word. I mean, I got this, prophetic word. And it's like, yeah, but you're killing folks. And, you know, not literally, maybe literally, but not literally. But, you know, it doesn't matter what was spoken over you if you're acting like Saul. Are you going to go Saul? You know, we talked about that, going Saul or being David. And Saul was all, it was his word. It was his protection. It was about protection of self. Had nothing to do with God or God's folks. And as long as it did him well, it had to do with that. And we call that going Saul. Are you going to go Saul? Are you going to be David? And hopefully that'll be available in the VFN TV store, because you're going to have that moment at some point that you're either going to go Saul or you're going to be David. And David was a man after God's own heart. Saul was a man after his own self-survival and self-promotion. And he held on to the word spoken over him too, but God regretted the day that he ever, I mean, imagine, it's like, oh, dear God, you know, please, Lord, oh my goodness. And so I just want to encourage you, hold on to Jesus Christ, not that prophetic word over you. Mm-hmm. And since God spoke that over you, and if he did, it'll come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
It'll come to pass. But if you don't hold on to Jesus Christ and you hold on to that word, you know, it's going to end up in a regretful situation. But here they are right now. Here they just, you know, they're building the wall back. They're listening to Nehemiah. They've been confronted by Sanballat here. And the opposition came in immediately again. And their response to it was to go into prayer. We talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have compensatory type prayers or where, you know, we're, you know.
Payback
prayers that time. That's what they were praying. But we would pray because we want to win those who are held captive by the hordes of hell. We want to tell you that, you know, you can be on God's side.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not doing God a favor by killing me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, right. And so,
put the knife down. Yeah, put the mic down.
Oh, knife. Okay. Oh, yeah. And then, so once they prayed, and we talked about praying, well, we're praying for folks, you know, and we talked about that, and you can hear it in the previous program. But now we're in verse 6, where he's talking about once they prayed, and they continued, obviously, to talk to God about this. So they just went out and begin to rebuild the walls, and they reached half of the way. The walls were like half of the way, which means you got half the protection that you could have unless you completely finish it. But they've got some protection. And quite often, a lot of people settle in the area of some protection
mm-hmm.
because they've never had any. And the fact is, I'm okay. I mean, this is pretty good. You know, I can be saved. The milk of the word.
Mm.
You know, I got a kind of a nice gathering here, whatever. And but it's only halfway
mm-hmm.
and understand that your opposition still is there. And if you don't follow fully what God is saying, you're not going to be protected. You're only half protected, which means you're half not protected. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Say it's a glass
yeah.
half full or is a glass half empty.
Mm.
You're half not protected. You know, that's very important. And if you God says, I'm not unjust. I will not forget the love you have shown me as you have helped my people and you continue to help them. By stopping halfway, you're helping people help halfway instead of going all the way there. And so guess what? Here they're building, they got the walls halfway up, and you're thinking you won't hear about from Sand anymore. You know, Sanballat's not going to come.
Mm-hmm.
The puppets of the puppet master Lucifer is not going to send any more of his tongues on fire people, but he does. Here they come again. And because they got the wall halfway now, you have to understand that the opposition who realizes they're soon going to not have access to God's people are panicking. They're okay as long as you're camping in an open field. They're okay as long as they got you in their social network. They're okay as long as they got an inlet or a wolf access, you know what I'm saying, type thing going on. But they're starting to panic here because they're realizing that you're halfway into this vision, you know, and it's being built up, but you're only half protected. But they're seeing is like, oh my goodness, they're halfway there.
Exactly.
You're maybe saying it's like, we got halfway to go still. We got ways to finish this thing. But they're thinking, we're halfway out. If we don't do something now, we're going to be on the outside of these walls. And by the way, let me tell you something. Read Revelation, the revelation of Christ, when he talks about there will be people that are inside the walls of heaven, and there'll be people outside the walls mm-hmm. of heaven. And you got to make up your mind, are you going to be in or are you going to be out? Because he talks about who's in and he talks about who's out.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys here were held captive by Lucifer. And he talks about in verse 7, you know, Sanballat and Tobiah and the Ahab, the Arabs and the Amorites and the people of Ashdod heard these repairs of Jerusalem had gone this far. And they're really concerned now because this is what they were focusing on. They're about to close all the gaps.
Mm.
They're about to close all the gaps. And this made those who are the enemies of God and the enemies of Israel and God's folks made them very angry, where God says. And you have to understand, as long as you have an open door in your life, as long as you have open windows and empty houses, undiscipled life, as long as you hang out with wolves, as long as you have a social relationship with people who have a social relationship with Lucifer, as long as you hang out with those who are held in religious captivity while you're trying to do what God is saying, he has access to you. And so he's not worried. He's not concerned. As long as there's a gap. And by the way, you're a gap if that's what you're doing.
Mm.
You're access. You are a carrier. You know, it's like you're like a flower and a bee and they get the pollen on their their feet or their legs, and they carry that pollen to the next flower. You know, you take in all the things and allow the adversary to plant in your garden, and then you go just spew that out over the ones that are behind the half wall. Mm. You're the gap. And God says, I looked and looked for a man who would stand in the gap so that I wouldn't have to destroy the land, but I couldn't find any. The question is, are you the gap that a man needs to stand in front of to keep the church from being hurt?
Wow.
Think about that. I mean, how many times have you might have seen stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, wow. And it's like, you're a gap.
Right? Wow. Yeah.
And so, and it's like, and the thing is they were upset. Think about it. And this is how you know when you're progressing, we're talking about the heart of Nehemiah and the strategy to rebuild the church. And you got to be okay with, you know, whoever the church is, not whoever the church says they are. You got to be okay with whoever the church is. You can't say, well, you know, I just want more people in the church. Well, you know, you're going to have as many in there that are, if you understand what I'm talking about, who are the church, the body of Christ, because the church are the people. It's not the place that you're gathering in. And if you just gather in whosoever in the context of that, using the scripture saying whosoever can come to the Lord, he's not saying whosoever can come to the gathering of where the sheep is.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying whosoever can come to Jesus and be saved and become a sheep.
Right.
Because he talks about, Paul says, you know, he says, I warned you day and night for my entire time that I was with you, maybe 3 years, with tears, that wolves would come in amongst you and even come from your own number. You know, that so there's just, if you have walls up, the wolves can't get in unless you're a gap, you know, unless you're a wolf. And as long as Lucifer has wolf access, as long as he's got a wolf in the flock, he's okay, because the wolf is the one that goes back in, you know, and normally they're deceived. They go, well, tell me what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening there with Nehemiah? What's happening here? What's happening there? And they're just like a sounding board, you know, kind of carrying back and forth all those different things. You just watch it and you go, well, that's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty amazing. You're a gap, right? You're a gap or a wolf. And so they're getting worried. So understand, when you start doing this and doing what God is saying, rebuilding the church, there's got to be people that's outside the walls and people inside the walls. And you can't be up, you cannot leave the gaps in the walls access to people coming in to the body of Christ who are not the body of Christ. They're going to be angry. They're going to be upset. I mean, what's on them, the thing that has them, they're going to be upset. Win them to the Lord, you know, lead them to Christ. They'll become, you know, they can have access into the city. And we're talking about a spiritual city here. But they were angry because the gaps were being closed up. Oh. Isn't that something?
Mm.
Isn't that something? Do not leave gaps open just to make people happy. Quit having these gap meetings and these gap gatherings, and these gap phone calls, these gap emails. You know, just kind of keeping things open, you know. What, for what? For Sanballat?
Mm-hmm.
The one who's openly speaking against what God is doing here? Who was upset over and over again and has been used by the enemy to bring damage and destruction to what God is doing? So you got, when we're talking about rebuilding, we got to say, okay, who's the church?
Mm.
What is our call? What are we called to do? And we're not called to control or to rule the world. We're called to lead the church. And God deals with the world. We don't judge the world. We don't politicize the world. We just take care of the church. And God looks over us. And this is just a real encouraging journey, kind of getting some perspective. Mm-hmm. And you think, you know what, why would I need to know that? Well, if you actually begin this journey, you're going to say, thank you so
much.
But if you're not on this journey, I mean, you're thinking, you know, it's not that relevant to you. But I think we're all about to be on this journey. And it'll give you some perspective. And also you can share with others who are desiring to be on the journey. But when all this, they're getting angry at them because they're halfway up with the walls and they're beginning to close the gaps out. When gaps are gone in walls, people just can't come and go as they please. There is some sort of protocol now. They got to, you know, you can't just show up because you got to approach. There's only the gate. You got to come through the gate. And this is what Jesus said. Anyone that comes any other way than through the gate is a thief and a robber, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so thieves and robbers and deceptive folks, they're the ones that come in and sneak in and kind of sit in the back of the room and, you know, and just like, who is that? What are you doing? Mm-hmm. You know, and but when there's some sort of, you know, gaps are closed, they got to come through the door.
Mm-hmm.
got to come through the door. Well, you
we
know?
Can talk so much on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we could.
Oh,
right.
My goodness.
Well, I just think, I really think, well, I don't want to go there either. You're right. But that you're right. And so, just take it that if you don't use doors and you come in through other ways and you call it like, I'm just trying to keep a low profile. I'm just trying to not, you know, I'm going to be there, but not there. I'm just kind of like, well, something's got a hold of you because if you're the body of Christ, if you are a fellow believer in Jesus Christ, then you're walking into the family. So you want to be with the family. You're not going to set yourself behind the family, you know, or to the side. You got to ask yourself, you know, what's got a hold of me that thinks I can lurk in the backgrounds and not just kind of come into that gathering that's happening at that particular place. Not that that would ever happen.
No,
right?
No,
that wouldn't happen. And so then it says, so they're angry about these gaps being closed in verse 8. It says, so they plotted together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to stir up trouble against them. I mean, think about it. They're concerned because the walls are halfway up. The access that they got prior to not being able to go through the gates and stuff, they didn't have to worry about going through gates because they had all these gaps. It's about to be gone. And so, hey, we're going to stir up. We're gonna come in and have a strategy. And it's just really sad because, but get over the naivety of this whole thing. It's going to be people that feel like they are doing something for God. And they will be the ones, because the world pretty much doesn't care.
No.
They don't care, and they actually want to be, they want to be healed. They want to be delivered. They love Jesus. A lot, you know, they will love a lot of, they'll come after Jesus if we can just get religion out of the way. And so here, but these guys are not of God that are here, and they're plotting together to come and fight against Jerusalem, to fight against the apple of God's eye. And it makes me think about today. When the whole world is surrounding Jerusalem, and what are they doing? They're plotting together to fight against Jerusalem at this very moment right now, demanding apologies from Jerusalem and, you know, and saying, you know, it's happening this very moment, right this moment. And America is one of those countries that's it's leading it, actually, in the context of it. Not you say, well, I'm not doing it. It's like you have to understand this is a government by the people and for the people. And whoever you put to represent you, that's the one that's doing it. So you chose that representative. If you didn't vote, you chose them. And if you voted for them, you chose them. If you just kind of, you know, lurked around in the background and kind of flipped the lever without speaking and finding out values. And you say, well, I didn't vote for that one or this one. He's like, you know what? You know, you should have been, it's your government. It's your country. It's a government by the people and for the people. And so now here they are plotting together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to stir up trouble against them. Why are they going to do that? They're doing that because they realize their access is being cut off. They realize their access is being cut off. We will not have access to be able to hurt and harm God's folks. We can't just make, you can't come and pounce on them anytime, take their stuff from them. I mean, the reason why the walls got torn down and burnt down gates is because God's people are in rebellion. But now God's people are repenting and coming back, and so they're rebuilding the walls. So understand, when you begin to do this, what God is showing us a pattern to be able to come back and rebuild. This guy is not going to go away. These people who are held captive by Satan to do his will, they're not going to go away. Understand, the more successful you are in the vision that God has called you to be, the more gaps that are being closed, the higher the wall gets, the more angrier those that realize, and I'm being left out because I told everybody. This is what I told everybody. That I was one of them. We're all the same. We all have the same Jesus. But all of a sudden, when a dividing line comes up, all of a sudden when they start seeing, well, my goodness, you say you're with God, but the fire and the anointing and the power and the presence and the Shekinah glory and the pillar of fire and the pillar by smoke and people hearing the voice of God. I mean, once that wall goes up and there's no voice, because you're benefiting off of, these folks are benefiting off the gaps because they're kind of hearing what God is saying and they're owning those words. They're shopping for prophetic words. They're repeating them in the context of it. And they're talking as if it was them. But once that wall's up, they're not going to know what God's saying. They're not going to know. They're not going to have that aspects and the benefit of that. And so therefore you got to just like, okay, then I'm not of God, but I can be. Understand this. If that's you, and you see that happening, and you're panicking. You're going, oh my goodness, what if God moves over there? What if God moves over here? What if he doesn't move where I'm at? What if this happens? Like, hey, you need to get in the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about your kingdom. You were so worried about your kingdom because you're outside the walls. You're not understanding there's only one body. You know, there's only one family. There's one Lord, one God, one Spirit. And so wherever God does what he does, the family is excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're thinking if a wall goes up, it'll define that you're not of God, then you need to get inside by making through the gate by making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And so all of a sudden they begin to plot together, come together and strategize to fight against Jerusalem and to stir up trouble against them. And notice that there's people that are not really involved in all this, but they're going to stir them up.
Mm.
So you have these organizer type folks, these Zelensky children, and organizing is not wrong. I'm just talking about the ones that are being organized by Lucifer to do dark things against God's people, that they are going to stir other people up that were totally uninvolved in that to use them to be able to push their agenda, to nudge them in the context of accomplishing their goal. They're gossipers. They're slanderers. They cause division and derision. And everywhere they go, they're just saying this stuff in all these people's ears. And they're dividing people. They're stirring people up against Jerusalem, against God's people. Why? Because they realize the wall's going up and the true colors are about to be seen. Because once that wall's going up, I'm on the outside. I'm not on the inside of that wall. And listen, what you're realizing is at this point, if that's you, you're realizing that you need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You need to return back to him. You got to break your loyalties with Lucifer. Get back into the Word of God. Follow the 3% according to George Barna, this reading the Word of God. Begin to abide with Jesus Christ and understand you're in.
Mm-hmm.
You are in, part of the family of God. You are the living stone that God's building together in a royal priesthood for a habitation for his Spirit. Listen, God wants you in, but you got to come through the gate. Any other way is a thief and a robber. Because this journey is the heart of Nehemiah, how to rebuild the Church of America. And you got to hear this in its entirety. You know, we are just continuing the conversation. And we're in Nehemiah chapter 4 and kind of verse 7 or 8 is where we left off. In the context of this, that, you know, they're again and again, they're rebuilding, they're working, they're doing what God said, they're following the vision and the one the Lord gave the direction to be able to do it. But in the context of that, that the enemy does not just sit back and let you protect God's folks. He doesn't sit back and say, oh, that's wonderful. I'm not going to have access anymore.
Yeah.
And as we were talking in the previous program, as here they are, they're rebuilding the walls, as Nehemiah has been called to do. And I want to get right in there because he's rebuilding the walls. They're halfway up, which means they're halfway down too, but halfway up. And there was gaps in the walls, and they begin to close the gaps in the walls. And this really stirred up people who were not gods, who were possessive. When I say that, they're not, they're just Lucifer's children.
Mm.
You know, they're children of, he says, held captive to do the will of Satan. And they immediately realize that I'm not going to have access anymore. And that's a big deal. That's a huge deal. And you're thinking, here you've been walking with God, and you're wondering why these folks, you know, just go in and out, in and out. Yeah, they're still, they're not living for God. I mean, they may profess they're living for God, but they're not living for God. And you're wondering, like, what's going on? They're walking through the gap in your life. They're walking through the gap in your gathering and how your expression, whatever's going on, there's a gap there. And there shouldn't be that kind of access. And the thing about it is, are you ready to build the walls? Are you ready to have close those gaps where people can come through the gate, which is Jesus Christ? People, you can't. This is what people, because of building the walls up and because of not closing the gaps, people actually think they can be saved by just walking into your gathering.
Mm.
They think they can just put their name on the roll at your church gathering, your church, whatever organization, and they're in.
Mm-hmm.
They never went through the gate. They came through a gap in the way that your structure is set up. They came through a gap through some sort of relationship, a gap in someone else's life. And so they've been sitting there for 5 years, but they've never made Jesus Christ the Lord. They like Jesus.
Right.
They talk to him all the time about miracles and things, but they like the bread that they get from him. They're not following him for him, internal life, for who he is. And so that's because there's gaps. And so, and we're doing them an injustice in regards to not letting them know you're not in until you're in, you know.
Yeah.
And if we would have built up the walls and lived in a way that everybody knows the only way in is through Jesus Christ, then that would have helped. But since there's no walls and there's no, the gates, the authority's burnt, then people are coming from everywhere, all over the place. And so we're scattered. And so you have, you know, all kinds of things going on in the name of, quote, the church. And the reality is there's a church in there somewhere.
Yeah.
There's a church in there somewhere through all of that. And mm-hmm. she is there. And that's the church is there. But you have to understand all this other has come in as well. And so when you begin to just rebuild the walls and begin to disciple and focus and do what God has said, then you start finding out, oh, wow, you know, I'm outside the walls. I didn't know, I realized I didn't know him. Mm-hmm. And so they're plotting against, the enemy is plotting against Nehemiah to fight against Jerusalem, which is taking place today, even as we speak in Jerusalem now. Mm-hmm. And stirring up trouble against them. Why? Because the wall was halfway up and the gates were about to be closed. And this is their response. And this should be always our response. Again, it said, this is the response. But we pray to our God. We pray to our God. And the way to do this is if you don't wait till Sanballat shows up to pray. You build your prayer relationship with God over an extended period of your life. We call it abiding. Mm-hmm. And so you're just constantly there at that moment. And you already understand the voice of God. You understand how to hear God. And God knows that you're listening. He can speak to you and give you strategies or whatever. And so you're praying to God, God, what do I do with this? This dude is back again, right?
Right.
Doesn't he have anything else to do?
All right.
You know, where did you come? TKO. What happened again? You know what I'm saying? All these different things. It's like, back again. And the thing is, it's just going to, so you just pray to God, God, what should I do? And God will just show you all kinds of things. He may show you that particular Sanballat captive is going to be saved, going to be humbled and going to enter into the kingdom of God. And you know how to approach that person based on that particular thing going on. But they did, they pray, but then they also did this. They prayed and they posted guards on the day and guards of the night to meet this threat. Mm. And how many people just want to show up at the game, but nobody wants to watch the gate? I mean, how vulnerable are, and I was just in another city this last weekend talking to ministers from around the Southeast, and they were talking about, you know, we got to have strategies that if somebody comes in wanting to harm the flock, that we just don't sit there like ducks. That, and so one particular gathering says, well, you know, that we got people there that there we have a plan. If this goes down, everybody goes down, and the ones who are able to defend the flock will respond accordingly, right?
Right.
And bring any adversary to the throne room of God. Mm-hmm. And so, but he's not, they were talking about strategies, and so they were thinking, and that's a physical strategy, but also a spiritual strategy. What do you do? What do you do when Jezebel shows up on your back row of your gathering? You know, normally in the crevices and the cracks, but with staunchness, right? Yeah. And what do you do with that? And if you haven't have a strategy for this, you pray, but you also post guards and say, you look out for this and put yourself in between the flock and that dark captive that was mm-hmm. wanting to harm, you know, God's people. That's what mm-hmm. you do. You begin to warn the folks. It's like, hey, something's going on that's not right here. And so they pray, but they also had a strategy. Said, let's rehearse this. This is what we're going to do to make sure that everybody's safe, which gives everybody, by the way, a feeling of safety mm-hmm. and protection. They know that they're being looked over. And I know that with our neighborhood, for example, that we live in, our home is in, that we have what's called a neighborhood watch. The neighbors came and asked me to, you know, us all put it together, whatever. And one of the neighbors, you know, told me, they said, listen, you know, I just feel so safe. Because you're actively involved in this, mm-hmm. and that's how the church should feel if you're operating in the heart of Nehemiah, that they're aware you're aware, and that you have strategies to be able to that you're praying, you're talking to God about it, but you're mm-hmm. also hearing what God says and putting that strategy, the super and the natural. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, without a strategy, you know, you're out of gas.
Right. Because
what happens is that people just flip out and just do anything at that moment. But if you're prepared, then you know.
Yeah, and chaos is not a time to say, do this and do that.
Right.
And so then he goes in verse 11 and says, also our enemies said, while they were building, by the way, the people, here the enemies come in and attacking. if that's not bad enough, you've got the strategy going on. We're having to set guards up. We're having to have a more focused prayer on what's going on. Meanwhile, the people of Judah, the ones that were building the walls, says our strength, the strength of the laborers is giving out. And there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. Here you are. You're halfway there. You're finally closing down some gaps that have always been there. This dude won't go away. This group, this thing, this stuff won't go away. And they're constantly trying to stop the growth of what's going on. And isn't it amazing how it just comes right in the middle of what is and begins to destroy it and not even know?
Not a clue.
Not even a know. It's like you were a nuclear spiritual bomb that just blew all this up. It's deception.
And you have no idea.
Yeah, yeah. And it's deception. It's just, it should create deep humility in us to realize, dear God, you know, if that thing's happening and it's not, and don't even know, it's like, my goodness. And so, and here they are. Now, to top it off, everybody's going, listen, this thing, we're not going to be able to do this thing.
No.
Like, now's not the time to openly talk out loud why Sanballat and his crew are looking for an inlet to be able to destroy and stop what God said is going to happen here. And you had the folks begin to measure and say, it's not going to fit. It's not going to work. Can't do this thing. They're physically tired. They begin to think that because of my physical nature, that God's spiritual accomplishments won't take place, not realizing despite our weakness and our inability, if we follow God, we just continue to do the work in faith and confidence, believing God, keeping our personal doors closed, keeping our heart filled with the ways of God, abiding with him. He's going to bring to pass his will. I mean, he's just going to do it. And it's not about can we do it. It's will we lay ourselves down at the cross of Christ and allow him to accomplish the work through us. And so it's not about is your strength up. It's do you apply the wisdom? And this is where it's important to write down your vision, as we said earlier programs, to make it plain. Not so other people can run with it at this point. You're going to have to run with it. You're going to have to go back and look at your vision.
All right.
And, whoa, what's going on here? I'm just bushed and tired and I can't, you know, whatever. And you're going to have to be able to go back and refresh yourself as David encouraged himself in the Lord. You're going to have to go back and remember that. Secondly, you know, you're going to have to invest in some wisdom. You got to quit working out of so much ignorance. Know this, that the God is wisdom itself. Mm-hmm. And that if you don't ever seek wisdom, especially in your weak areas of your life, your weak areas or your gaps, it's going to constantly allow Sanballat, people that have the spirit to stop what God's doing in your life, will stop it. And we talk about value-based vision management, you know, after hearing what God is saying to you and begin to write these things down and make them plain so that you can run with it, other people can run with it, but then you have a systematic way to put the stones in place. You know what you need to do next with this particular person who's at this place in their stone journey. In the context, you know how to, you study, you learn how to close gaps, you know how to finish walls, you know how to, you know, where you get the gate material at, you know how to disciple, you know how to relate, you know how to, and it's important. You need to be able to write the vision and make it plain, but you also need the wisdom to be able to walk it out, because if you're just doing like Tim Tebow in regards to just pushing through because you're strong and you're like Samson here, I mean, at some point, you could get a haircut, you know?
That's right.
Yeah, at some point, you know, you're just going to just wane out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not by might, not by power, but by God's spirit is how these things are accomplished. Understand, remember who you were, Nehemiah, when God called you. It was him that put this on your heart. You looked at devastation. You thought there was no hope. But God began to reveal that hope on this whole journey, and we talked about it. Don't forget who you were when God first called you, because you're still the same person. It's God's the one that's doing this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So just relax. Remember, there's contingencies. Don't define yourself about how Nazarites respond to, you know, what's going on and that type of thing. Just continue to do what God said. It may be the next generation. You may be the Joshua and the Caleb that goes on to the next generation that's the gap closer. That generation is going to go in because the last one was too scared, too terrified, and was contingent upon, the promised land was contingent upon, would the people go? Would they be confident enough in God to be able to go? And the answer for them was no. But for Joshua and Caleb, it was yes. And so God kept them around long enough to be able to impart what he was saying to them to the next generation, and they went in. We're continuing to talk about the heart of Nehemiah here in Nehemiah chapter 4, you know, we're responding to this more of the Sanballat type spirit that's going on, and how important it is to be able to have wisdom and understand, you know, as they were coming in, trying to stop the work. They don't mind if you stay around as long as you stop doing what God's called you to do. They don't mind. They'll give you a job. They'll hire you up. They'll put you in. They'll take a general right off the front lines and put you in CIA or something to run it. You know what I'm saying? They'll, you know, they'll give you a job. Hey, I just want to bring you in to my, you know, like, I'll pay you. And that's what happened to Robert Sheridan when you think about him, the Welsh revivalist. Happened to plenty of folks. And so the people were saying, listen, our strength's given out. So we've already talked about that. So here they are kind of weakened. They're starting to proclaim the opposite of what they professed that they're going to do. Let's do this thing. Now they're saying we can't do this thing because we're tired. We don't have the rubbles out here. We can't build from this rubble. And so the enemy comes in. You think this is not a time for the enemy. Just relax. Calm down. Understanding they're coming against God, not you. It's for God to defend himself. If you're moving in humility, you're moving in prayer, you're abiding with God, and you're doing what he's called you to do, just watch what happens to Ananias and Sapphira. I mean, you'll see, you know, what God's going to do. This is not you, Peter. This is God. And so you just watch what happens. And we just heard it right while we were talking in a previous program, as we were talking to you and sharing with you these consequences, there was somebody that called and left a voicemail and said, somebody has the consequences right now on top of them. Did they not?
That's right.
Yeah. Sure. And it's so, you know, what do you do? I mean, anyway, so it's God that you'd be fighting against. Not, and so you got to relax. That's who they would be coming against. So also at this point, then the enemy said, before they know it or see us, before they know it, that's going on, this strategy, and before they see us, we'll be right there among them. You got to stay alert. I know he's your uncle. I know, you know, she's your mother. I know that he's your son. I know that that's that, you know, whatever. I know, you know, this is your BFF. I know what you're saying here. But understand, if you're not the church, you're not the church. And you need to be able to identify that, because he says, before they know it, before they even know it or even see us, we will be right there among them. And remember, Paul warned day and night, night and day, with tears for like 3 years. Understand this. This is so important. I mean, why would somebody who wrote almost half of the New Testament under the unction of the Spirit of God, who had third heaven revelation about God, saw the face of God, say, listen, with tears, I'm warning you that wolves are going to come in amongst you when I leave you, and they're going to come in from among you. And he's warning them, which means look out for wolves. Just because somebody's like, oh, I'm so glad that we have Jezebel here today. You know, she's traveled around from church gathering to church gathering, and you know, we're all connected to her thing now. And here, we're just so glad to have her. Hopefully she'll join us. You know, and she's deciding, well, I didn't know, at least for her, or he's saying, no, I don't know. Anyway, so it's like, what are you doing? Do you even know their fruit yet? Spend some time with them. There might be a reason. Have you called the last shepherd? And they're like, well, I would, but he's dead. He's out of the ministry now. You know, and it's like, yeah, that's a good clue. That's a very good clue. And he said, before you know it, before they know what we're doing, before they even see us, we'll be amongst their numbers and we'll kill them and put an end to their work. Well, they're talking about physical death here, but what we're talking on the context of, although physical death is happening to the church all around the world, and we're beginning to see some remnants of that, you know, near, that you'll watch them. They'll kill people spiritually. They'll kill their soul. They'll snuff out their spirit. And it's like, you were so happy 3 weeks ago. Who came in amongst you? Who cut in on you? You were running a good race. Who bewitched you? Who got in without you being aware of it? Who got amongst you? And who killed your vision, the hope, and the very word that God spoke over you? What you doing driving that person around the community? What are you doing? Right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's right.
You know, get back to God, realize the journey is not going to be good going away from God like that. And their goal is to kill you. As a matter of fact, look what they've already done. Look how depressed and down, and now you're being critical and fault-finding of the very ones that you walked with. The very ones you said, I am here, I will lay down my life for you, and now you're actually wanting to lay down their life. You know? And it's that progression of once you walk with them, you begin to sit with them, and once you sit with them, you become scornful with them. It's just that progression journey that Proverbs talks about, Psalms. Then he says, then the Jews who lived near them, who was them? Well, the ones who were building the walls. So here comes some folks that lives near them. They're gonna encourage them. They told them 10 times, 10 times they told them, whenever you turn, says whenever, when you turn, whenever you turn, they will attack us. They're going to attack us every time you turn. They're going to attack us. Whenever you turn, they're going to attack us. I heard you. Whenever you turn, they're going to attack us. 10 times. Whenever you turn. Okay. I got it. You think about it. 10 times.
Wow.
The sky's falling. Don't go to Jerusalem. Hey, I just want to let you know. Thank you. I got it on the 9th time. I don't need the 10th time.
How much is a bus ticket?
Yeah, that's right. It's like, Jiminy. Dark crickets. Anyway, so they're telling him, so here, and all this reality is taking place. This is exactly what the wolves are saying. They're just circling now the half-walled Jerusalem, the gapped areas. They're watching, they're drooling, they're knowing the gates. The authority's not really yet established yet, and they're really just kind of circling. What do we do? How are we going to take this? And they're getting into the gaps, and they're saying, when you turn, that wolves are going to attack you. And that's what happens in the wildlife. Satan goes around like a roaring lion. Let me tell you, this is what it looks like. People who are held captive by Lucifer go around like roaring lions seeking someone to devour. They don't look like a lion, but understand the ramifications of your spirit and your soul will be the same if you lay down in the den of lions. It's going to end up that way. And so what his response was, again, Nehemiah stationed some people behind the lowest points of the wall. I mean, how many people go, you know, this is just, it's not really happening here. You know, I want to be by the back door. You know, I want to be kind of out there where it's happening, where, you know, where there's a lot of good things going on. And, you know, I don't want to teach this class. It's like, oh, this is the low part of the vision. This is where the wall's not fully built yet. You know, when it's higher areas, you know, there's more things happening. There's more safety. There's more flowing of the spirit. All these things are going on. At the low point of the wall and the exposed places, I'm out here, you know, in darkness. And it's like that. You have to be willing to follow the lead. Whatever God is saying to Nehemiah, for example, or saying to him or her, they're saying you got to guard that because you're part of the whole thing. Everybody, your success is everybody's success. The strength of the chain is as strong as its weakest link.
That's right.
And if you won't guard that gap, then anything can come through that gap. If you will not guard that gate, then anything can come through that gate. No matter how big the guards are in other places, you're going to give the adversary access because you're not willing to do what God has called you to do. And David said, I'm willing to be a doorkeeper in the house of God. I mean, I'm just happy to be there. And so he puts guards at the lowest points of the wall and exposed places, posting them by families, which means all of our different gatherings and our streams, you know, we're thinking about how this thing's being built, with their swords and their spears and their bows. This was an offensive effort. We have to wake up. The kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing and is forceful men to lay hold of it from the time of John the Baptist even to now. We're going to continue this conversation in our next program. You got to join us. This is really encouraging my heart. What do we do? How do we set up a guard against the wolves who are trying to come in amongst you while you're trying to build up the walls and rebuild America through the heart of Nehemiah, led by Jesus Christ himself? I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if you're not, we're not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today, or become a sponsor or underwriter, and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country in that order and Israel as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.